Hi, this is Mary Beth Gardam on behalf of the whole One Wolf Call team.
We have a few announcements today. They won't take long. The first is from the Earth Democracy National Issue Committee. Nancy Price's working group is planning to design and write a new infographic card and have it printed early in 2019. The subject of their last one was Climate Justice, Women, and Peace, linking the environment with the impact of extreme weather on women and children, human rights, resource conflicts, and refugee flight. It's been used by our branches and distributed around the globe, winning high praise. Their new infographic card will expose the intersections between militarization and the expansion of U.S. and NATO foreign bases, with environmental degradation, toxic waste threats, and human rights abuses. They are asking that anyone with an expertise in these subjects who would be willing to help with the research and writing, please contact Nancy Price as soon as possible. Nancy is at nancytprice39@gmail.com, and I believe that will be posted on your text pad.
It is. And I've been asked to announce that applications are due for the Local to Global program is funded by Wolf US. The actual deadline is tomorrow, November 9th, but Dixie Hairston wanted us to announce that they will waive the deadline for just a few days in case you've been so busy working on elections that you haven't had time to get your application in. This is a wonderful opportunity to meet with our UN program staff and women leaders from around the globe on topics of great interest and diversity. This is a week-long event as part of the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women event, CSW, and the WILF UN Practicum for Advocacy. Each year, we offer two WILF members the opportunity to attend the CSW in New York in mid-March. It's a meeting where thousands of women come together to empower one another and learn about developments and innovative programs that affect the status of women around the world. Lots of workshops, panels, and lectures are offered during an action-packed week in New York City. Applications for the Local to Global program, funded by WILF US and other donors, are available at our website, wilfus.org/story/programs-commission-status-women, and that's on our text pad too. A free week in New York with high-level meetings at the UN and side panel presentations that focus on the role of women in peacekeeping around the world. That's hard to beat. So please consider making the most of this opportunity. Print out your applications and get them in quickly. Also, the Development Committee of WILF US has been working hard on our annual appeal, which is really our largest fundraising direct mail effort each year. This year, we're telling lots of stories of WILF women and our work this year with some photos you might recognize. The appeal will land in your mailboxes earlier than normal this year, trying to get ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday and shopping season. Please consider digging deep to invest in peace. And also, please check out the Giving Tuesday post on the WILF US Facebook page. Please share it often between now and the Tuesday after Thanksgiving to both your personal friends and your branch Facebook pages. We're promoting this now through Thanksgiving and again on Giving Tuesday, November 27th. We're asking you to urge your members and your friends on Facebook to share our posts about Giving Tuesday often. It links to our online donation page. And an investment in peace and justice seems about right this year, don't you think? Finally, we've started to update our One Wealth Call page on the website. I apologize for the glitches we've experienced getting the audio recording of these calls posted. It's very frustrating. Now you'll find that the recording of the September call Ricky Ott's amazing PowerPoint about ultimate civics curriculum for middle and high school students called Activate My Democracy is posted for you to listen and watch. Ricky is doing train-the-trainer events and hoping some retired teachers, trainers, or librarians might sign up. She's teaching young people how to use their First Amendment rights to protect what they love. Not a bad mission. And our October recording is also posted now. The Back from Ghana reports from the International Congress in August. We'll be adding the rest of the calls as soon as possible, so keep checking back. Find that page under Resources at the bottom of our homepage, and the link is also listed on the text tab.
Well, we promised that we women would grab them by the midterms. And many of us have been working as individuals in our communities and across the country, too, to overturn the extremist, racist, pro-corporate, xenophobic direction of our nation. I know many of you worked hard the last few weeks and months for candidates who support women's rights, health care, all the things we've hoped and worked for. Last night, many of our hopes were dashed, but we did see the extremist GOP lose their majority in the House. And more first-time women and minority members sent to Congress than ever before. So what did you see where you were? Long lines, short lines? Did you observe any voter suppression? Were you surprised by the results in your state? What is the takeaway? Mary Beth will call on folks who want to report. Press number 1 on your phone keypad and we'll start a stack. Press number 1 if you want to talk about the elections in your area. We'll leave about 10 minutes for this discussion, so try to be brief so we can call on more people.
If you want to ask a question or comment on the elections, please raise your hand. I know most of us were, many of us were disappointed with the results in our area. I'm in Florida, and it's still a heartbreaking look at runoffs that are still being counted here, both for the governor and the Senate race. And I know that's true in a couple of other parts of the country. I also watched Iowa, where we moved from, and that was a disappointing result as well. Well, I don't see any hands up to talk about the election. So I guess there's not much to say. Yeah, now I do. Okay. Sandy Thacker, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Well, I was sort of waiting, but maybe other people can start. I was really curious about people from other states, what was going on. But anyway, I live in Oakland, California, but I went with a group of friends that also went in 2016 to Reno, Nevada, and we went door-to-door for days. At that point, it was to get out the vote. In Nevada, they have an early vote, so on Friday, we encourage people to vote early, and then from then on, we basically just encourage people to vote and gave them information about how to vote. And it's great work to do. I actually, for me, it's the best way to spend the few days before the election. I mean, otherwise, you just go crazy. So it was very... it was very exciting and very energizing, and just a lot of volunteers, a lot of out-of-state volunteers, a lot of volunteers from California. But we went all over Reno, saw all the levels of income that exists in Reno, a lot of Hispanic and other Latin people that we talked to, and it was just a wonderful experience. And both our governor and both the governor and the senator won in Nevada. So that was good.
Okay, I see Joan Goddard's hand up. Go ahead, Joan.
Yeah. Thank you, Sandy, and everybody who went to Nevada. The Senate race there, I didn't hear you say Senate, but I heard you say something about governor, but hopefully you are working on Jackie Rosen's Senate seat, that she won, a new senator. I was also going to say that Boy, I lost track in the midst of getting excited about Sandy going door to door. So it was great that so many people did that. And I'll remember. Maybe there's somebody else waiting to talk, and then maybe I'll remember what else I was going to say.
Joan,
something about what Mary Beth said.
Yeah, Joan, just put your hand up again. Press number one
when you remember. I will if I remember.
Okay.
Thanks for your patience.
Darian DeLue has her hand up.
I'll be just very brief. I also went out of town to go canvassing, and that was a good feeling to be doing something active. In the election returns themselves, I was most thrilled by the vote in Florida to re-enfranchise the former felons so that we don't know how they'll vote. It's a mixed bag, but it's about time that they had the chance to express themselves by voting. I hope they'll be committed voters to a larger extent than other people because they know how valuable that ability to vote is. That's it. Thanks.
Yes, we were excited about that, and also they had a ballot initiative about banning dog tracks, greyhound dog track racing, and that passed, so that was a good thing. Judy Adams is on the staff. Judy, from Peninsula, Palo Alto.
Yes, I just wanted to say that our branch mostly did volunteering of calls and postcards through our Democratic Volunteer Center. And we tried to get more folks involved. The Atlanta NAACP had put out an enormously long list of people who had been purged from the voting polls. Everybody I got on my list of 60 was black, identified as black individuals. And I'm hoping to see more of that kind of work in between elections, so that we can get people back on the polls.
I agree that it's a really important thing for us, for all of us to do. Mary Hansen Harrison, you have your hand up.
Yeah, thank you. I wish I was in Santa Cruz right now with my hand up, but unfortunately I'm sitting here. But fortunately, one of my former students got elected to the Iowa Senate, District 21, Clara Seltze. And Patty Naylor, who was on the panel at CSW, ran for county supervisor, and she lost. There are four women, but she ran. That was the first time she's ever done that. So that was good. But my main concern is that Iowa now is mostly red. It just is very stark when you look at the map. And having been brought up in rural Iowa, we have to change. We have to find a dialogue. There is no merit in keeping on vilifying people. In that it just encourages them, it seems. So we're going to have to go for the rural people who did vote for the Democrats and try to find out what made them turn. I know the suburban women, white women, did turn shift to Democrats, but we unfortunately have to talk to each other differently, and it's a struggle. It's in progress. So, returning vilification for vilification doesn't get us anywhere.
It's so hard to avoid, though, when you've got somebody like Steve King, who's, you know, infamous now across the whole country and such an embarrassment to Iowa, but oh well. Sandy, did you have your hand up again?
I just wanted to, from what Mary was saying about you know, about the red and the blue states. I heard a woman from Kansas. She's a journalist from Kansas today. And basically was saying that it's kind of, it's not a good thing to just see red and blue states. You know, to just see, like three supposedly red states voted to, you know, to have Medicaid reinstated, you know, for their states, even though their governors were against it. And I think there's, it's just too easy to write off those states that, and as she pointed out, in many of those states, there's a very narrow Republican majority, even, you know, that, and even the rural-urban difference is changing because, you know, there are minorities working in rural areas, and they change the demographics. So to not go to those places and see what the reality is for activists in those states is missing an opportunity, I think.
Well, and I saw on Facebook and one of our members from North Carolina, Michelle Laws, posted during Election Day that she was witnessing some voter suppression there in North Carolina. And I called her and asked her to be on the call tonight to report on that. She was going to be on the call, but I guess something came up. But apparently North Carolina and Georgia both experienced some problems that may or may not have been intentional with voting machines and long lines and rejecting voters who showed up. So those of you who volunteered to be poll watchers this election, thank you for that. It's something we have to keep working on and really working hard for those paper ballots. That's really, really important. All right, well, I don't see any other hands up, but you'll have more time to be heard soon. Speaking of elections, the Wilf U.S. elections are nearly upon us, and although one of our candidates, Nancy Price, could not be with us tonight, Nancy is running unopposed for an at-large board position. Two candidates for president of the U.S. section are with us. This won't be the only time you can hear from them, though. Laura Dewey from the nominating committee is holding a dedicated candidate call on Monday, November 12th. Laura, can you tell us what time that call is, what the agenda is, and how people can register for it?
Okay. All right. So this phone call will be strictly with two presidential candidates, Darian and Barb, and it'll be held this Monday, November 12th, at 6 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Central, and 9 o'clock Eastern. And the way that it'll go is we will the nominating committee will ask the candidates a few questions, give them a few answers, give a little few minutes each to answer the questions, and then we'll open up to members to ask them questions as well. We don't anticipate the call lasting more than an hour, and I really hope that before you send your ballots in, you will take advantage of this opportunity to meet the candidates and ask your own questions. I will put the information on the pad so you can see the phone number, because you have to call in the phone number and then enter a code. So I'll put that in right now, and it did go out in an e-alert on Monday. So if you've missed an e-alert, check your email for this past Monday, the 5th, and the details are there. We may or may not have time to send out another e-alert. I'm not sure. So, and if you have any questions about, say you did not get a ballot or anything like that, that information is in the e-alert. It's also, I see here on the screen, contact Chris. If you think you're a member, you know, paid up member, but did not get a ballot, please contact Chris to get a ballot. And, of course, if you have any questions about the elections in general, contact the nominating committee, and I'll put that email address on the pad as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
Thanks for that, Laura. I hope many of our members will join that call for an opportunity to learn more about the two women competing to lead Wilf U.S. over the next 3 years. You'll be able to ask questions of each candidate. Laura, can you direct our members to the page on the website where they can read more about the experience and qualifications of our candidates? They each have rather long resumes, and it will be more time effective to read about them at your leisure.
Yeah, there is a link. There is a link on the screen right now under number 4 of the agenda, and it says it's a link to all the documents from the candidates.
Okay, thanks, Laura. So it's our pleasure to introduce our two candidates for national office. One of these women will be our section president for the next 3 years. They've worked together for a number of years and both served on previous WILF boards. Barbara Nielsen is on our board currently as program chair. She's with the San Francisco branch and has been leading several of our issue committees for a while. And Darian DeLu is from the Sacramento branch and has headed up our bylaws nominating committee. And she reintroduced the idea of a leadership institute at our triennial congress in Chicago. You can find more information about both candidates on our website, and that link is listed on the text pad. So, greetings, candidates. We have one question to ask each of you, and you will each have 4 minutes to answer. Members, we won't take questions from members today, but you can jot them down and ask them next Monday on the candidate call. So, in alpha order, Darian DeLu going first. Darian, please tell us your highest priority for WILF in the next 3 years. You've got 4 minutes. We'll ding you once at a 3 minutes as a warning, and we'll ding you twice at 4 minutes to urge you to finish up.
Okay, I guess that means I get to start. I wanted to start off by saying that I have not been heading the nominating committee for quite a few years. Laura Dewey, whom we just heard from, is the chair of the committee. I am a very happy member of that committee. And in order for people to know all about the many things I have done with national and international WILF, and the same for Barbara Nielsen, please do go to those web pages that we have available on the WILF website, and there you'll be able to see not only my application, which goes into detail about my WILF experience, but also my resume and letters of recommendation. They will probably give you a much better idea than I can in these few minutes. So I feel that the most important thing I see doing as a WILF president is to work for more effective and more visible program work. Program work for WILF is different from program work for other organizations because we are a member-led organization. Other organizations are driven by a central somebody, whether it's a board or an executive director or a founder, but we are led by our members. We're very different from other groups in that regard. So we can all determine the nature of WILF U.S. program activities, as long as, of course, we're consistent with the international program. And that's easy to do because WILFers very much support the kinds of things that international supports. So the role of the president in WILF is very different from other leaders in other organizations. And that's why I'm so concerned in making our program work more effective by offering more opportunities and encouragement for all of our members to have more effective skills in strategizing and organizing for program work. To start with, I would like to see far more collaboration among our several issue committees and campaigns and other program committee subgroups. We have a number of different subgroups and they work together to some extent. I look forward to seeing much better cross-communication so that people are aware of upcoming events and how they can plug in and point out the linkages between the work they're doing and the work that other parts of WILF are working on. With our members, I look forward to providing, was that a beep? I look forward to providing, there's my 1 minute warning, more trainings and information about how to strategize effectively, how to report to National WILF so that as a national organization, we have the ability to fundraise because we can say this branch our branches had so many people at these certain kinds of events. They're collaborating with certain kinds of organizations, and these are the results of the events they've had. Reporting like that will make a big difference and allow us to better evaluate our events, which we should always be doing. With that evaluation, we can do more effective follow-up. So I think better program work, we're doing great stuff now, but it could be improved. We can publicize it more when we get good reports from the branches, and branches as well as issue committees can do more. Thank you.
Thanks, Darian. Barbara Nielsen, here's the same question for you. Please tell us your highest priority for WILF in the next 3 years. You too have 4 minutes. We'll ding you once at 3 minutes as a warning. We'll ding you twice at 4 minutes to urge you to finish up.
Go ahead, Barbara. Barbara, are you on mute maybe?
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Now we can.
All right, great. Thank you so much. I'd like to thank you all for being here, and I'd like to thank Darian for stating so many good ideas about strengthening the program work of our section. I currently, as you may know, am the remaining chair of our program committee. And have been working hard on trainings and collaboration between the issue committees and as well as breaking down the silos on program work that had kind of developed by integrating branches more into the discussions on the program calls and working with issue committees. But the question is, what is my highest priority, or what do I see as my highest priority for WILP for the next 3 years? And I would say that besides making sure that we have support for our development efforts, thank you, Mary Beth, for all of your hard work in the last 3 years therein, and our financial efforts, and Jan Quarterman, our treasurer, is to be thanked as well. We have programs in place moving forward for that. I think of our highest priority for WILP US as an umbrella, that while working on our important program areas and finances, because of course without those two we can't function, we in WILP US, who have tended to serve in positions of national leadership in particular, need to deal with opening up ourselves to more voices and viewpoints and levels of privilege. And that has to be driving everything else that we do, so that we can become more effective in our activism as we welcome members whose lives and backgrounds differ from those of us who have been the driving forces in the past. So that we, as we engage in our future activism and work on issues, we can better represent broader viewpoints and experiences of the members that we hope to attract into WILF to work with those members who have been our stalwarts for many years. As many of us know, we in WILF are unique and benefit from being an NGO covering every continent. Not only are we, of course, granted consultative status with the United Nations, we are the longest standing NGO with consultative status at the United Nations that has an anti-war focus on our work. As we work in the U.S. section on the myriad issues in which we are involved, we have opportunities to engage in outreach to young people and people of color, most often women but not limited to women, especially through our practicum and advocacy at the United Nations annual meetings on the Commission of the Status of Women. I've been fortunate to have participated in the practica, including its work with the Global Program for Established WILF members for a number of years. And I would like to share some excerpts from a letter of support that was just sent on my behalf to the branches from one of the program's leaders. She speaks about my supporting the work in the UN programs at CSW for years and has even spent her own time, resources, and money
to come meet, speak to, mentor, and most importantly, learn from the students we bring to the UN every year as part of the UN Practicum and Advocacy. She has also kept in contact with many of them and has helped advise a few student-led projects which inform their university communities about WILP and our international work. Barbara listens to the students' thoughts on how WILP would better align with the issues affecting young and diverse students. She's very good at balancing mentoring, teaching students with learning from them, and recognizing that we all have something to teach and something to learn. Barbara has consistently supported the women of color in our organization by listening to their issues and speaking up when they are not heard. Her support and ability to grow and listen while offering her time for mentoring have shown me that she is the leader this section needs. I know that she is not afraid of changing and has already worked diligently to help young and diverse women feel that WILP is a safe place for them to lead. It is people like Barbara that keep me motivated to be a member of WILP. And I would add, I would hope that everyone wants to be a member of WILP. I have supported WILP since the 1970s and been an active member for many decades, and urge you all to keep doing your work in WILP as well. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Barbara, and thanks, Darian. This WILF election offers two good candidates for president. We hope you'll get your ballots in quickly so we can announce the winner. The deadline for ballots is just after Thanksgiving, but there's no need to wait. If you have not received your ballot in the mail and are sure you are a currently paid-up member of WILF in good standing, contact our office. There's still time, but time is short. The information for contacting is on the web, on the text pad.
We promised a member forum in this call so voices of members across the country can be heard, planning constructive ways to make a difference in our communities and in our nation. We've certainly had proof at the polling places that people are ill-informed and still deeply divided. We feel that if they understood what's at stake clearly, many would vote differently. Well, that's WILF's job, educating, training, and lifting up emerging women activists. And there are a lot of them in this season of human rights abuses, attacks on women, and murders and mass incarcerations of young black men. There are opportunities for WILF to stand up, stand together, speak in one voice, gain visibility and impact. But we have to be seen as doing something, not just talking about issues. Let's come up with a list and then prioritize.
As a fundraiser, this is Mary Beth, I want to be clear that without strong program goals and a work plan that we can all agree to pursue together, our ability to raise money in any area of WILF will not be as successful as it needs to be to stay sustainable. So I'm particularly interested to hear what kinds of actions we could pursue during 2019 that would not only create change, but also improve our solidarity so that we can be a more robust and responsive ally for our partners and colleagues in the peace, environmental, women's rights, and human rights arena. It's about taking actions across the country that will strengthen WILF, but also will create opportunities for new members to join us, share leadership, and learn together how to move forward. So we've got to think a little strategically here as part of a larger movement of how to make the most impact locally and nationally, what we can do that will have the best chance of contributing to a sea change in America. So if you've got some ideas about what could work and want to share them, ideas for solidarity actions during 2019, please get on a stack by pressing number 1 on your phone keypad now. Tonight, we probably won't come up with final plans or agreements, but it's vital that we begin to talk about and plan what actions we can take that will produce actual measurable results. If you represent a branch or your own individual ideas, if you're connected at the national level of WILF, or you're a more isolated at-large member, your ideas are all important to share, and this is your chance to be heard. There'll be more chances as the year comes to a close, but we hope that you'll press number 1 on your phone keypad to join the dialogue. This is a beginning brainstorm session that will result, hopefully, before January, in some good plans going forward for solidarity actions in 2019. And as we lift up ideas, we can vote to see which ones have the most support on this call. We might even start fleshing out ideas in a breakout room where one person takes notes of the discussions and reports back to the group. The rest of this call can be devoted to this activity. So let's get started. We've got three hands up. I see Mary Bricker Jenkins is on the stack. Mary, do you want to, your mic is open if you want to offer something.
Great. Thank you, and hello, everybody. Just chiming in for the Poor People's Campaign. There are plans developing. I wish I could say these are the proposed actions. I can't say that. As you know, people have been encouraged to stay active through this state apparatus, but in addition to that, the campaign has begun a series or restarted a series of calls with national partners like WILF. So we'll be having at least once a month, and I will get back to you by the WILF4PPC@gmail account as soon as I have something definite. In the meantime, please carry on with your banners and your best thinking about how we can move forward on the four core issues of the campaign: ending racism, ending poverty, ending militarism, and preserving our environment. And the more we can do to help people understand how those are interconnected, the better. And if you have any ideas along those lines, please email me at WILF4PPC@gmail.com, and let me know if you are okay with my distributing that information to our loop list. Thanks.
Okay. I also see that, Lynn Sableman from St. Louis, you have your hand up. Your mic is open.
Okay. I had occasion to see in Norway a weekly effort by Grandmothers for Peace to stand in public and hand out an information sheet every week. These could relate here to the Poor People's Campaign. And it would be nice to have a national contribution to that. I just thought that was something that we could easily participate in, you know, go to coffee shops, wherever people are, and or outside of places that are congested, and hand out these sheets just as an activity once a week or once a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Judy Adams from Palo Alto, you had a suggestion to make.
Yes, hi. First, I wanted to say to thank Mary BJ about the PPC. I found their goals of ending poverty, racism, militarism, and preserving the environment really good focuses for our branch's weekly Friday at noon demonstrations on a busy street corner near Stanford, a big high school in the city, a shopping center, and lots of foot traffic and road traffic. We do pass out flyers, and we do have our banners and signs that I and some volunteers help me make to keep up with the issues. Mary Hansen Harrison, I'm sorry you won't be with us on Friday, but we will have someone from Veterans for Peace and some high school students that I think we've recruited through one of our younger volunteers. And signs for all kinds of issues, but we try to update, for example, the Sessions resignation and how that affects the Mueller issue. So I'm looking at a list of things that I'm thinking about, one of which is our state House and U.S. House of Representatives to try to influence their agenda as a national organization, that we need to recruit, as has been mentioned, new groups, new members as women of color, that women's rights in CEDAW should be high on our list. UN Nuclear Treaty, I remember when I first joined WILP in the 70s during the Vietnam conflict, that there were those members here in the branch who said, you know, if we don't focus on nuclear issues, we won't have the world of the environmental issues. So I would put the nuclear treaty high on our list. I'd like to see us focus on Palestine, Middle East issues, a real tinderbox for world peace and violence, gun violence. Let me go back to the UN treaty. We've been trying to enlist cities as members and mayors for peace. We've been successful on two peninsula cities here near Stanford, south of San Francisco. And my colleague Cheryl has been working on Palo Alto. And the last thing I'd like to mention is maybe the first thing I'm trying to think of and educate myself about, and that is the Screwnomics work. I'm going to be meeting on the phone with Ricky, the author of the book, and dealing with poverty and economic issues to bring in new members. Thanks.
So I was trying to write everything down, and I couldn't find a pad. I got nuclear issues, Palestine, Middle East, gun violence, and poverty economics with Screwnomics. Could you just mention the first two or three that you said, Judy?
Let's see. Affecting our state house and new House of Representatives nationally on their agenda and recruiting racial diversity in our branches. I left out climate change. I think the four pillars of the Poor People's Campaign really give us a place to slot in issues that would be important. So poverty, racism, militarism, and preserving the environment.
All right, Sandy.
Yeah.
If you want to take over, kind of facilitating, we'll have Mary Beth apparently dropped by accident. I'll just keep the stack going. Darian, you're next on stack, and then Mary Hansen Harrison. So Darian, your mic's live, and Sandy, you can facilitate when needed. Darian.
Okay.
Darian, your mic's live.
Okay, can you hear me?
We can hear you, yep.
Okay, thank you. I'm just going to suggest that with Trump's calling off of the Iran treaty and re-implementing sanctions, WILF might be one of the groups that's brave enough to touch that issue, and I would love to see us do some kind of a solidarity event that focuses on the need for treaties and negotiations to avoid nuclear escalation and nuclear war, and specifically focusing on the situation in Iran. So as events develop, we could figure out what makes the most sense, but I'm suggesting that as a nationwide solidarity event that really ties in with our issues and that I don't see anyone else doing a whole lot on. Thank you.
And Mary Hansen Harrison, you had your hand up.
Coincidentally, to follow up on Darian on the Iran boycott sanctions. We have signed up with a Code Pink, and they're doing a big demonstration in December I think it's December 2nd, in Washington, D.C. And as maybe some of you know, my daughter-in-law, my former daughter-in-law was from Iran. So we do have something going, but obviously it's not very well publicized, so we'll do better on that. Of course, internationally, if you're going internationally, it's the humanitarian crisis, the famine in right now going on in Yemen, and that's half of the population, I heard just recently, will be on starvation level. What to do about that? It seems overwhelming, but we can collaborate with other organizations who are also working hard on pressing for more humanitarian relief. The UN is coming in and giving more food, but obviously the Saudi problem backing the opposition and causing a great deal of stress on the climate and the people over there and throughout the world is another question. But as far as solidarity events, I think the gun control issue is really particularly relevant, just within today happening. The terror that it instills with we may not be at war on our land as such as we have thought of in the past, but this is a new kind of war. New in that we don't look at it as a big threat, but now we will, and what to do about it, and not to be reactionary, but to be on the ground and in Congress and in the Senate, in your congressman's offices, it really is very effective. So solidarity, a day with youth who, by all reports, are mostly Democratic. At least it looked they voted that way from 18 to 24. That's an issue with them as well, and as environment is also. So if we want to bring in youth, I think I heard somebody saying that they're at a high school, and we found that was really very effective with the PCC campaign. I think the upcoming thing is the Dublin conference, and Nancy isn't on here, or she would be talking about closing bases. That's extremely important with the amount of money that is spent. If you want educating people on what the where our money is going, that's one of the biggest savings that you could possibly have. Then I think she would be reporting on that as well. But my concern is that we remain flexible. We have not just reactionary to every tweet, but that we have a more consistent rapid response. That's been one of my really hardest things to get going in a reasonable manner. We've had it in the past, but we really need to get that on board, and I hope the new president would really be able to focus on getting our word out rather than waiting, you know, like a week or 2 weeks. And we need to be more flexible and faster to get out our values. And, you know, I think we can do that. So that's just a few things. I know in the Congress, they were really talking about restorative justice and conflict resolution is a big project for them, obviously, because they're so war-torn, and we don't have that as such to deal with as much as our sisters in Africa and all over the world. So getting to know a little bit more about conflict resolution, and although this isn't a solidarity event, it certainly is an educational event. And I know the president of Ghana's section is a lawyer and very good at that, so she might be on one of the calls to talk a little bit more about how we bring peace, or
okay.
A form of peace. So that's all I've got right now.
Thanks, Mary. Laura Dewey? Your mic is
Hello?
Open, Laura. Yep.
Oh, hi. Okay, this is Laura. Unfortunately, the sound on my computer is cutting out once in a while, so if I repeat something that Mary said, I apologize. I thought she might have mentioned the March on Washington in January, but I heard December. I'm wondering if we should focus on the, I believe there is going to be another March on Washington in January. I don't know the date. I wonder if we should focus on having a unified presence there. 2 years ago, Odile and I went there with a sign, a big banner, a wolf banner, and we handed out cards promoting the group. And it occurred to me, maybe we could use this as a means of getting out our anti-war, pro-peace message, something, a unified message, walk behind one large banner, wear the same clothing, and have an impact. And pass out cards that zeroes in on any of these issues we're talking about, under the idea that, you know, war is costly and peace is priceless. So we could talk about, if in our handout, we could talk about the price of nuclear arms, and or we could talk about, excuse me, there are so many issues we could talk about, but I'm just saying that I'd like to see us have a large presence in D.C. this time. If we could get 50 people there, and I think that we could have an impact. So I would propose that. The other thing that I'd like to see us do, you know, we've got a bigger female congressional delegation now in Congress, and I'd like to see us do some lobbying work with them, let them know who we are, meet with them when they come to their hometowns, say, this is who we are, and this is what we hope that you will work on. You know, whether it's getting us back on board with the Iran nuclear deal, or you know, calling out our support of the war on Yemen, you know, things like that. I think we should get in touch with these new people. That's all I have right now.
Thanks, Laura. Ellen Schwartz, and then I have some ideas that Nancy Price asked me to present. But Ellen, go ahead.
Yeah, there's no lack of them. No lack of ideas. Well, what I'd like to say kind of piggybacks on what Mary Hansen Harrison said about maybe Wilkes is among the few organizations brave enough to speak against the escalating tensions with Iran, that we might also look at the Koreas. When President Trump went to Korea and went and visited North Korea and came back all happy and friendly with Kim Jong-un, he was attacked not only from the right, but from the left. Democrats were attacking him. How can you leave brave little South Korea at the mercy of North Korea's nuclear weapons? But actually, the Koreas would love to not be at war. And in terms of Kim Jong-un being, you know, a terrible dictator, yeah, but we send huge amounts of money to Saudi Arabia, which certainly is not a bastion of democracy. And if you look at where we send aid, they're not chosen for their dedication to human rights, but rather to strategic benefit to U.S. military and business interests. So, you know, I think, and the same thing with Iran. We don't care about Iran being a dictatorship. We're perfectly happy with dictatorships. We're perfectly happy with Saddam Hussein until he started using the oil revenues domestically instead of sending them all to U.S. companies. So, you know, I'd like to see WILT, which is among the few organizations, you know, with a lot of standing that can speak up on behalf of self-determination for the world that we don't own or shouldn't. That's it.
Thanks, Ellen. Barbara Nielsen had her hand up as well. I'm sorry, Barbara, you were way at the top of the stack, and I missed you until now.
Can you hear me? Thank you.
Yes.
People are raising some very, very good ideas, as often happens on solidarity ideas. I just would like to remind people that generally the program committee meets once a month. We did not meet on yesterday because it was election day, and I knew of almost no one who was around who wasn't working elections. But we will be meeting the first Tuesday in December, and branches are invited to the program committee calls, which normally has someone from each of the issue committees. We are working on some of these issues that have been raised now, and we have been working on some of them as well. So if anyone who is not normally on an issue committee would like to talk about this with other people who are working on it, on issues that are being raised, you are welcome. And at some point I will get a notice out to people about how to do that. It's another Maestro call. These are great ideas, and many of them we have been discussing in either Disarm or other of the issue committees and on the program committee. So we have been listening, we continue to listen, and looking forward to hearing some of your voices. Thanks.
Okay, so Nancy Price sent in something. She couldn't be on the call. She's actually traveling to D.C. Today, I think, or maybe there now. Anyway, and she suggested for dates that we might consider January 21st, which is the anniversary of Citizens United. I don't know about you, but there, in Florida alone, they were talking about not millions, but billions of dollars being spent on the Florida elections. And I assume it's even more in other parts of the country. If we could get big money out of elections, or at least could you know, maybe work with these new female delegates to promote that using January 21st as a organizing date, that might be a good one. She also suggests March 22nd, which is World Water Day, and she says that we could use that day for a new framing of World Water Day around the contamination of water by the military. And I would add to that that we should also be looking at the contamination of water by profiteers, especially in the Midwest, the big ag, CAFOs, people who are poisoning the air and water in the Midwest. She said in late March through April 4th will be the anniversary of signing the NATO agreement, and NATO countries will meet in D.C. on April 4th. So different organizations are taking the lead on organizing events over those days. So there will be opportunities for WILF to engage, especially with the new infographic card that Earth Democracy is working on. So please don't forget that April 4th is the anniversary also of MLK's Riverside Church speech and the two-year anniversary of the founding of Black Alliance for Peace. And then she says, on April 22nd, of course, Earth Day, I think WILF should also focus on the issues of contamination of the air, land, and water by the military and the destruction of the earth for the materials of war. We need to emphasize this and link it to Disarm and Earth Democracy. Arbor Day, she suggests, April 26th. She has advocated that local nurseries order live trees that after the December holidays could be planted in the towns where people live to create carbon sinks, not have trees cut and shipped to be sold everywhere and then they're just thrown out. So Arbor Day may be another day that we could work on. She said she thinks we must do something on Tax Day, peace economy versus war economy. It's true that so many file taxes online, but this could be done with signs or banners at street corners, not necessarily at post offices. Then there's June, and ICANN, she said, and July 4th, Declaration of Freedom from Corporate Personhood. I think we need to put together a calendar that takes into account dates pertinent to disarm Middle East, Cuba, sort them out and select what should or could be solidarity actions and see what they add up to, what kinds of materials are needed, handouts, infographic cards, banners, etc. I have some things to add as well. I think that it's altogether possible that we could organize the building on the women's economy and the Screwnomics efforts that we're trying to make to get women to understand how economics affects their lives and through that book get them to understand how endless war robs them of the support and services that they need. I was listening on NPR this week and they were talking about a service that's being offered in some states to do a day of training for women in the labor force to recognize their rights with vis-a-vis sexual harassment in the workplace and what the legal ramifications are, how to, you know, what kinds of means they have to take to document what's happening and present their claims to their employer and higher officials. And I think it might be a good thing for WILF that is all about women's rights. If we were able to organize that sort of a teach-in in each of the states where we have branches and hold a regional meeting about it, get a local attorney to be the instructor, and use it as a way to promote ourselves as being about women's rights. So it's part of the Me Too movement deal. We could certainly partner with local women's groups and women organizers, local Me Too activists. But I think it would be something that we could work to fund in our own local areas that might bring us more visibility with women. So let's see. Mary Hanson Harrison has her hand up as well. Mary, did you have something else to suggest?
Yes. I have to correct myself. I conflated the January thing with December. the Code Pink Summit is peace with Iran is December 1st at the First Congressional United Church of Christ in Washington, D.C. So it's the march is different on Washington. So I would be marching if I were them, but nevertheless, they're having a summit. So it's also hashtag peace with Iran if you want more information.
Okay. Well, we have a lot of suggestions here, and I have to apologize. I lost the call connection for a few minutes during Judy Adams' presentation. So I'm going to run through what I have captured and ask you to add to it.
And let's just try and make a exclusive list here. I have Judy's ideas, including nuclear issues, the UN Treaty / Mayors for Peace, Palestine, Middle East, gun violence, and poverty and economics, using an appeal to women to understand their situation through Scronomics and other efforts. I know she said other things, but I wasn't able to capture them. Judy, do you want to remind me what you said on those things? Your mic is open, Judy Adams.
Hi. I think I mentioned women's rights, CEDAW, the Me Too movement, and climate change. I think you hit most of the things. I did want us to affect the new Democratic-controlled House of Representatives in Washington on their agenda and take those issues to our state houses. I think that was it. Thanks.
Okay. Great. And then Darian was talking about the nuclear deal with Iran. I think that was the major thing that she wanted to remind us about. Darian, was there anything else on your list that I missed?
Oh, I just want to make sure that in talking about that nuclear deal that we are focusing on the damage caused by withdrawing from treaties and using sanctions when there is nothing to sanction, that we focus on the way Iran is complying with the treaties and that the U.S. should also comply with treaties and start new treaties. So it's not just the nuclear deal, but the need for treaties in order to make progress in denuclearization. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And then Mary Hinson-Harrison was talking about also Iran and the humanitarian crisis in Yemen. She mentioned gun control as well, which when you think about it would indeed connect us with younger people and would also connect us with teachers and parents. So that seems to have a lot of legs to me. The Dublin Conference and closing bases, she mentioned. I'm sure that Nancy is going to come back from these two conferences that she's at representing WELF with even more ideas for what might be possible in the new year. Mary also mentioned the unified presence in D.C. Oh, no, that was Laura. Sorry. Laura Dewey mentioned a unified presence in D.C. on the march in, I think, January is the date she was thinking of. And maybe while we're there, meeting deliberately with female delegates in D.C. to express, you know, or introduce them to WELF and whatever agenda items we want to put on our wish list for this upcoming year. Ellen Schwartz mentioned Korea, and I'll say that one of our fiscal sponsor has been putting together a very wonderful opportunity for WELF US to collaborate with Women Across the DMZ and Women's Guaranteed Security or something like that. I can't remember their exact name. And that meeting is being set up now. So there may be some really big collaboration that comes out of that. That might be a 2019 effort, or maybe even a 2019 and 20 effort. Barbara said that there were lots of good ideas and reminded us to be on the program call on the first Tuesday in December. Nancy mentioned Citizens United, World Water Day, the late March through April the 4th, NATO agreement, and NATO countries meeting in D.C. on April 4th.
which is also MLK's Riverside Speech Anniversary. April 22nd, of course, is Earth Day. She would like us to focus and frame Earth Day as the idea of contamination of air, land, and water by the military, and I said also by profiteers who are using our commonwealth in this country for their private profit. And Arbor Day, she suggested we might do something with Tax Day. So there are a lot of these. Of those that I mentioned, I wonder if we can try to put them into some sort of order. There, I can see some of them work into women's rights issues. Women's rights. Laura, were you talking about the Women's March in D.C. in January, or was there another march that you were thinking of in D.C.?
No, I was talking about the January March.
Which one is that?
The Women's March.
The Women's March, okay.
Yeah.
So there's the Women's March. Under that, there's also, under women's issues, there's also women's rights and CEDAW. There's my idea about holding state conferences or trainings for sexual harassment, addressing sexual harassment in the workplace. There's, let's see what else. Talking to the new women legislators, Congress members in D.C., and, about their agenda and ours. There's also the idea of how...
Scroonomics,
right? Uh-huh. Many of the things that we talked about could be framed in through a feminist lens as well, but just to organize them in some kind of order. If we talk about next climate, and if somebody else has a better way of organizing these, please suggest it, but I'm just trying to break them into different categories. Nancy was suggesting World Water Day. Earth Day, with an emphasis on water and air contamination by the military, and I was saying by profiteers.
Arbor Day.
Well, yeah. All right. Uh huh. Okay. I think that's it for climate. Then we were talking about, like you might say, human rights, and that might include the humanitarian crisis in Yemen, human rights in Saudi Arabia. I think Mary mentioned that. The Palestine issue.
Immigration and the caravan right now.
Immigration, right. We didn't actually talk about that earlier, but yes, gun control is a human rights issue. And then if we talk about peace, under the banner of peace, we'd have the nuclear issues, the treaty, the UN treaty, and Mayors for Peace project. Also, Palestine and the Middle East. Also, gun violence. Some of these fall under more than one thing. I had Darian's idea about focusing on treaties in general, that they work and that they are, that the damage that's done from withdrawing from treaties is pretty horrible, and the nuclear deal with Iran. Code Pink Summit in December is coming up really close. December 1st, Code Pink. The closing bases issue, which can be translated into, you know, money saved. Tax Day, which would fall under that. The NATO agreement anniversary.
And you already have the Women's March, because
we have that under Women's, right? Yeah. So all right. So I think I have everything here. Well, Ellen mentioned Korea. I think that's the only other piece thing that I didn't capture. So it looks like we could break our ideas down into these four categories: women's rights, climate concerns, humanitarian rights, and peace. When you think about it, that's pretty much exactly what WILF is all about. I wonder which of these you think has the most... I see some hands up. Okay. So, Mary Brickard Jenkins, your hand is up. What would you like to say?
Hi. I have just a couple of quick things to say. One is, just to reiterate what I said earlier, that you can use your PPERC banners in literally all of these that were mentioned. But I also want to say, in connection with that, that the campaign is also developing some educational models and additional materials that can be used that will emphasize the interconnections of all of these matters, these conditions, which are, in fact, as you said, the very things that that WILF is concerned with historically. So those materials will be coming out and will help us, I think, make the connections during whatever event we choose to participate in. The other thing I wanted to mention is that with regard to human rights, as you shared recently, Mary Beth, December 10th, is Human Rights Day. It's the anniversary of the signing of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And I think it's important for us to know in particular that the United States had two treaties derived from that Universal Declaration of Human Rights. One was on civil and political rights, and the other on social, economic, and cultural rights. The United States has signed and ratified the first, civil and political rights. But we have always refused to ratify the Treaty on Social, Economic, and Cultural Rights. So one thing that we might be thinking about, again in a cross-cutting way, is for December 10th of 2019, we might want to prepare something big in which WILF can emphasize the importance of the United States coming in line with all of the other nations in the world, save two, by ratifying the Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights. Everything that was discussed tonight actually will fall under that rubric of economic, social, and cultural rights. So we might want to think about doing something. And since it will be December 10th of next year, we have plenty of time to think about it. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. That's a good point. Good point, Mary. Judy Adams, did you have your hand up again?
No, mistake.
It's from before. Okay, good deal. And Mary Hansen Harrison, you had your hand up again.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify. It's important that we, it's what Mary Beth was talking about with our PDF, mm-hmm. our 501c3. It's a women's, it's called the Women's Peace Initiative, Peacemakers Initiative. And we'll be collaborating with, we already have Wilf Kozoe, our former president across the DMZ. And so I think it's important that there are, the PDF is getting us together with enlarging our participation in this particular initiative to bring peace and in a peaceful manner, because I think it's very effective. Unfortunately, we have to have it publicized better than the last time, and I think this is what they're aiming for. I don't know how big the contingent will be or if they are planning to go back. But anyway, we're part of that process now.
Okay, good. Thank you, Mary. I'm looking at the notes. I wanted to say Cheryl in Palo Alto. Cheryl Spencer said that she believes the date of the next march in D.C. is January 19th, which is what Judy Adams understands, too. And Barbara Nielsen came up with the brilliant idea that someone should type the ideas that I just ran through onto the text pad. Unfortunately, I can't do that and still call on people, so maybe somebody could begin to do that. If not, I can send them out to you after the call. I just don't know... I'm not sure how many of these are going to be, what the characteristics should we be looking for in choosing these. And I think what we should be looking for is what is uniquely Wilf about them, would give us the most visibility, and in which area we might potentially have the most impact. And also maybe a factor would be which ones would give us the most potential for collaboration with other groups, especially newer groups, people that we don't already collaborate with. Sandy Thacker, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, just on that point, Mary Beth, I was thinking about, the solidarity events last year, and I do think that most of them were connected with national actions or events or marches, and then each branch could figure out how they could, make Wilf visible, if they could do other events related or if they could, join with other groups. Obviously, the Women's March is an obvious one, and then there's usually a Earth Day, event. And I like the idea of maybe working on a kind of our own event for, in December that Mary B.J. mentioned about the other, making an issue that people aren't that aware of the UN, whatever it's called. Anyway.
Declaration on Human Rights.
Thank you. Declaration of Human Rights. Sorry.
Go ahead.
But anyway, so we have usually tied it in with national events, national actions. So
Right.
That's something to think about.
Yeah. My sense here is not that we are getting one or two that are particularly getting a lot of energy. We've just sort of got this really neat list to work with. I wonder if it would make sense to have some of us who are interested in exploring which one would be the most, would give us those four pluses under Wilf, you know, which just makes sense for Wilf, visibility, impact, and collaboration opportunities. Would people be interested in meeting between now and, say, December to try to just talk through how this could work and maybe come back in December with some recommendations based on this list? Michael, why don't you clear the... Well, who else is on the stack here? I think Ann Henney. Hi, Ann.
I've been in and out of reception, and wonderful discussion tonight. I just wanted to add to your list of criteria. I thought that was great, Mary Beth. But I wanted to add events that or activities that would help us potentially add members and broaden our diversity. Because I think that is a top priority among the things that were talked about tonight. And I would really like to see us prioritize things that can help us attract new members.
Okay, good. So I'm adding that as we speak. So, Michael, if you wouldn't mind clearing the stack, and let's start again. If you are interested in meeting maybe once or twice between now and, say, the middle of December, to kind of review this list, come up with, you know, some ideas of, you know, how we could flesh out some of this, which ones fit with these opportunities more than others. Could you please press number 2 on your phone keypad now, and we can try to set that up between now and maybe Monday. And so, okay, I've got 5 people who said that they want to do that. One is Ellen Schwartz. One is Eileen Kirkoski. One is Margaret Pecoraro, Ann Henney, and Laura Dewey, and Sandy Thacker, and me. So that's 6 of us. Hot dog. I don't know why I didn't do it, but there you go. Let's try to set that meeting up. I would say we could break into breakout rooms tonight and discuss them if there's energy to do that. I'm okay with that. It's 8:30. And I just don't know that we have enough information to do it. What do you all think? Raise your hand, press number 1. Well, wait a minute. Let me write these names down. Margaret Pecoraro.
I already got them.
Okay, good. Yep. Clear the stack, and if anybody thinks that we're ready to break into breakout rooms and talk about them in like 4 categories, women's rights, climate, human rights, and peace, we can do that. Or if you think that... that would be, like, press number 1 if you want to do that. And if you think that it would be better to do breakout rooms when we have some recommendations from the smaller committee, press number 3. So if you want to do breakouts tonight, press number 2. If you want to wait until this smaller committee has met and makes some recommendations, press number three. Okay. So what I see here is all threes except for one person. Margaret Pecoraro would like to do breakout rooms tonight, but I think you're overruled, Margaret. I think most people think it would be better to wait. I think we've done a remarkable job coming up with this list, and as I said, I think Nancy Price is going to come back from D.C. and Dublin with even more ideas to add to the mix.
She'll probably even want to be on that committee, don't you think?
I think she might, yeah. Let's try and get some agreement between now and Monday about a date when we could meet and talk about this. I'm excited about it. I think we've gotten pretty far with this tonight. Barbara, among others, is always making the point that the good thing about WILF is that this is a member-led organization. And here we are, members, coming up with ideas that we can at least suggest for solidarity actions in 2009. And I love the fact that any member can get on these calls and have a voice and say those things and, you know, put their ideas on the table. And so this was a beginning, the brainstorming. I think that we should congratulate ourselves that we've gotten this far. We've got a lot done. I want to thank you all for coming. This is going to be an ongoing conversation we have between now and January. We'll be communicating off the call and between the call with those of you who want to work on specific pieces of this. We'll reality check it and then propose the ones that have the most promise to the whole group. It was good to hear so many voices, and we'll be working towards next steps together.
Yeah, and our next call is on Thursday, December 13th. One WILF calls are always on the second Thursday of the month. So if you have your calendars for 2019, just block in that time. And it will feature reports back from the two national and international peace conferences that WILF is co-sponsoring this month in Washington, D.C. and Dublin, Ireland, with some more planning for solidarity actions in the future. And we'll also hear from author Ricky Garg Diamond, who wrote Screwnomics, How Our Economy Works Against Women and Real Solutions for Lasting Change. She'll be dialing in from the Burlington, Vermont branch meeting, so we'll hear from that branch about how her book and message is being received. That's all for tonight. Thank you to Michael Ippolito for steering the background technology for this call. We've heard from many of you already tonight, so we're going to forego our soapbox this time. For now, we'll say Happy Thanksgiving. And Michael, if you'll open everybody's mic so we can all say good night.
And thank you. And before I open up everyone's mics, I just wanted to just let everyone know, for those who have come on Twitter, the Twitter Wednesdays, we have Giving Tuesdays coming up. It's the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, the 27th. What we're going to be doing on the 20th, we're going to be having a special Twitter event on the 20th, trying to promote organizations and groups sharing our infographic, or like our little graphic there that we made. It's on Facebook for Giving Tuesdays, has the peace dove and says hashtag Giving Tuesday. If anyone would like to participate in that, that'd be fantastic. You're welcome to come join. So we'll be tweeting on the 20th and 21st, and then again on the 27th, two Tuesdays in a row, the 20th and 27th, to try to push for donors giving to WILF. And also on the 19th, if you want to mark your calendar, the next tech training for the month is the 19th. You're all welcome to come. We cover Facebook. We cover Maestro. We cover Twitter as well as Slack.
I'm on the 20th, 21st, and 27th, and the 19th.
Yep. The Twitter calls all take place at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That's the start of them, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the tech training is on the 19th. That is at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, and I want to remind everybody again about Monday's candidate call at 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern. Loris put all the information to join that call on the text pad. So I hope that you'll be on there and ask lots of great questions of our two presidential candidates. Thank you, everybody. I thought it was a great call. I hope you did, too. Have a good night.
Good night, everyone.
Right.
Thank you.
Hello?
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 Yes?
Hello?